course, you took part in an internet blackout that was done by quite a few blogs and local internet sites around the country. How successful did that go?
Well, we're very pleased that the government has agreed to suspend for another month and possibly longer the law. But what that means is it's going to give time to sort of get a code of practice worked out between right holders and ISPs on how this very badly drafted, confusing law might work. And if they can't get that agreement, they've basically said it won't come into force.
Right, so you're saying that you actually got enough support from your protest action yesterday, that the government's actually, you know, had a listen to what's said?
Yeah, the government's actually acknowledged, I think, that the online action actually did have quite an effect on them, and that they weren't aware, I think, the extent of the problems with it. So, you know, it's great to see, actually, that you can make a difference.
Excellent, because normally they don't really pay too much attention to petitions unless they're actually physically signed. Isn't that the case?
Yeah, I think it's probably the first example I can think of in New Zealand where primarily an online grassroots protest has actually had a significant effect. Most of the time, you know, there's a lot of mainstream media involvement. It's from the TV, the newspapers a lot, but this one has been mainly online. Having said that, I think what we had a unique in our favour here is all the political bloggers basically came in behind it. And this is everyone from the Alliance to Labour, Greens, National, the Libertarians. And, you know, there's not many issues you could actually get everyone agreeing on.
And so you've got that broad public political support. That's interesting. Now, in terms of numbers, it was a petition. What sort of numbers did you manage to rack up during the day?
Sorry, can you just repeat that question?
In terms of the petition, how many people actually signed?
Oh, well, the petition's now up to, I think, over 15,000 people. And around half of those who have signed have actually said they're artists themselves. You see, one of the myths about this issue is it's internet users versus artists. But in fact, many of the people who are saying this is a bad law are artists themselves who create copyright.
Right. Now, what is their objection to the law?
There's really two objections. The first is that it involves people losing their internet account if they're a repeat infringer of copyright. A lot of people think you shouldn't be losing your internet account unless you're actually found guilty of breaking the law. But what was the bigger worry is that they didn't define who decides if you're infringed. And the way that the right holder groups have been pushing is that they should lay the complaint. They should also then receive your, if you don't agree with them, receive your objection and then decide if it's valid. So they would be the prosecution, the judge and the jury, with the ISP there as the executioner. What we've now got agreement on, partly thanks to the government, is that that won't happen, that there has to be some sort of third party who, if there's a dispute about copyright, it goes to them to decide rather than just have someone have their internet account cut off.
A third party, so they're actually looking at creating an entirely separate group.
Sorry, just missed that one.
Sorry, you're breaking up a little bit. So the government is actually currently looking at creating an arbitration forum or a separate group to look at copyright infringements. Is that the case?
Yeah, look, I'm on the cell phone, I'm sending to a very bad line.
Oh, that's okay. Look, I'll try it nice and slowly to see if you can hear. Yeah. Now, so you're saying that they're looking at getting a third party. So, I mean, because at this point in time, they're only delaying this by a month.
Now, it is only delayed for now, but if there won't be agreement, they have said it will then not come in at all. So the real challenge is for the ISPs and the rights holders to use the delay to see if they can get a better agreement.
Do you think there's much of a chance of an agreement on this issue?
I think there is a very real chance. I think a lot of work's been done. And to some degree, the ball is in the rights holders' court. They're the ones, in my opinion, who needed to compromise. And I think their recent statements have shown that they're going to be more flexible here, because if they're not, the law won't come into effect.
Right, I see what you're saying. So this is Re-Ans and these groups. You there? David?
Hi, sorry.
No, that's all right. You're with Telecom or something. So you're saying that they need to find some sort of common ground by which they can work together. Do you think that this... I mean, that seems highly unlikely in the 1 month involved. Now, the ISPs themselves, they're obviously not too happy with the situation, because if they're having to monitor, that's going to be a lot of costs incurred for them as well. Is that generally the views of all ISPs? Are they all rather unhappy with the law?
The ISPs haven't been too happy, because it's really turning them into sort of an enforcement agency for others. And one of the big sticking points with the code they've been working on is who pays. In the draft code, they've said, well, if the rights holders want us to receive their complaints, investigate them, send an education notice to our customer, send them extra warnings, eventually terminate them, that involves a lot of cost to us. Some of the bigger ISPs, it could be hundreds of thousands of dollars. And so they want a rights holder who complains to pay a processing fee. That will help not make money for them, but sort of make it that they're not losing money. And that's one of those big areas they've yet to agree on. But the ISPs, I think, will back down on the processing fee. So it really means that the rights holders are going to have to probably invest.
Indeed.
Yeah, there will be a processing fee. Otherwise, I suspect the law won't come in.
Considering how expensive broadband is in this country anyway, I mean, I can't see they'd be too keen to pass on any major costs onto the consumer here.
Indeed, that could well be.
So you think it's basically going to be scrapped then, in all likelihood? I mean, to get some sort of agreement seems a bit unlikely at the moment.
I think there is definitely a good chance of agreement there. May be wrong, but the fact we've now got the incentive for the rights holders to come to an agreement with the ISPs, I think changes the dynamic quite significantly.
Okay, and so you think that what do you think the final outcome will be then? Will they just work towards creating that third party and everyone try and be happy with that situation?
Sorry, just missed the last part again.
Just going back to that, creating a third party to actually look at, you know, reimbursing of costs and arbitrating the forum where they can decide whether it was a copyright infringement or not. That's obviously what they're going to have to work towards.
Yeah, they're basically the two main issues, as you say, the costs and the who decides. There's a few other minor issues, but they're definitely the main sticking points.
Fantastic. David Farrer from KiwiBlog, thank you very much for your time.
Okay, thank you.
Cheers, mate.